Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here is your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. New technologies, evolving customer demands, societal shifts, and the COVID-19 pandemic have been rapidly changing the business landscape. These factors pave the way for location-independent companies, niche markets, disruptive industries, as well as closely knit global teams. However, to reap the benefit that these changes have to offer, you must keep yourself up to date on the emerging entrepreneurship trends. To help you out, I've been searching the internet and have compiled some data on the different industry shifts to look out for in 2023 and beyond. With this, I hope it'll be easier for you to fully grasp the changes that can affect your entrepreneurial endeavors, and maybe it will allow you to update your strategies accordingly. As such, you can keep your business moving forward in the changing times and keep your edge against the competition. But first, let me give you a few facts about small businesses. First, as to why most small businesses fail. 42% because there is no need in the market for that business. 29% run out of cash, or to put it another way, poor cash flow. 23% don't have the right people in place. 19% are beat out by the competition. And 18% have cost issues. Second, the age group of the small business owner. 4% are between the ages of 18 and 29. 14% are between the ages of 30 and 39. 25% are between the ages of 40 and 49. 35% are between the ages of 50 and 59. 18% are between the ages of 60 to 69. And 4% are age 70 or older. And finally, the top businesses for small business owners. 11% are in the business services. Another 11% are in the restaurant business. 10% are in health, beauty, and fitness. 7% in general retail. And 6% are in home services. I've been associated with SCORE as a mentor for the past 12 years. In that time, I've come to the conclusion that many people put the small business owner or entrepreneurship on a pedestal. As a result, people at a very young age are being encouraged to become entrepreneurs when they grow up. If you think back to the statistics that I quoted earlier, you will see that the age group, ages 26 to 41, own more than 14% of all small businesses. And, as I've pointed out countless times on this program, it is really hard to become a successful entrepreneur. Based on the latest U.S. Small Business Administration statistic from 2019, only half of new small businesses survive 5 years or longer. Plus, only a third reach the 10-year mark. These failures are attributed to many hurdles and challenges that lie in wait in the ever-changing business landscape. Many new and even seasoned entrepreneurs fail to keep up, thereby being forced to close shop or start over. What's more, external market forces are not the only things to overcome. Some entrepreneurs may have started on the wrong foot altogether. Think back to the statistics I quoted earlier on why businesses fail. All these plus external market forces make it very difficult to succeed. So, it might be best to keep up with emerging trends in entrepreneurship today. This way, you'd get more chances of lasting longer in your market's evolutionary path. The first trend I'd like to talk about is business from home. A few years ago, Forbes reported the start of the rise of what they call digital nomadism. A huge percentage of the workforce has chosen to work from home or to keep several freelance jobs. This, as I can attest to, is a gateway to entrepreneurship. Many who start out freelancing end up creating their own consultancy or professional services business, which is what I did back in 2003. Moreover, this gives other established small business owners more employment opportunities. Having remote workers may help the entrepreneur save money on electricity, overhead costs, and equipment upkeep. Digital nomadism is a type of remote working where the worker lives as a nomad. Due to the nature of their job or specialization, they can work remotely practically from anywhere, a foreign country, a beach house, a co-working space, or even an RV. As digital nomadism has been trending for quite a while already, it isn't necessarily a new trend. Experts felt that its relevance was yet to reach its peak, until COVID-19 came. Once considered as one of the most popular and fashionable workplace trends, digital nomadism took a new meaning after the pandemic hit. Before, becoming a digital nomad was a choice that some free-spirited workers and professionals took. But during the pandemic, those who got stranded in other countries were forced to become digital nomads when the lockdowns were enforced. Meanwhile, some of those who chose the lifestyle are met with uncertainties. Can the place they were currently staying in remain open? Will there be enough work for them to sustain their lifestyle? When can they go home? Furthermore, COVID-19 forced them to stay indoors, which opposes the principles of being a digital nomad. Managing a business remotely has become the norm for many entrepreneurs, particularly those who are just setting up their businesses. However, instead of striving to grow out of their garages like the million-dollar companies that started from home, many businesses had to revert back to where they started. Meanwhile, more established entrepreneurs will likely hire more remote workers to man digital touchpoints. With the popularity of online shopping, the prevalence of social media use, the implementation of 5G networks, and the increasingly sophisticated computers available on the market, it seems that having a commercial space is no longer a requirement for building a thriving company. You can easily facilitate transactions from the comfort of your own home or virtually anywhere in the world. Why would someone want to work remotely? Here are some reasons given on just such a survey by Ann.co, a cloud-based contract management suite designed to help small businesses create contracts and proposals. 62% cited the freedom and flexibility to live and work from anywhere they choose. 16% cited the need for flexibility due to family obligations. 9% cited the urge to combine work and travel. And 6% said a unique opportunity came from a company not based in their hometown. Trend number 2, globalized business powered by remote work. The same conditions that spawned digital nomadism to happen have also allowed for globalism. While digital nomadism enabled entrepreneurs to manage their businesses from their home or other parts of the world, globalism is the practice of working with international teams to build, support, and expand their businesses. The truth is that globalism has been a trend for many years already, but sometimes we mistake it to be just an option for bigger companies. Some also have notions that globalism is just a choice for companies after years or a few months of starting out. However, many entrepreneurs started their businesses with globalism already embedded in their DNA. In fact, according to a 2016 article in the Harvard Business Review, on average, 29% of startup employees are foreign. For those in Silicon Valley, it's a significant portion at 45%. With remote work consistently growing, especially as a FlexJobs 2020 survey found, around 65% of employees would want to work remotely full-time post-pandemic. Expanding globally becomes more viable even for small to medium-sized businesses. This globalism trend is really hot in particular sectors, especially media and professional services. Namely, it's perfect for the knowledge economy. For example, a U.S. green energy startup can tap an independent Japanese-led engineering design firm to work on a bid to construct a hybrid plant in Afghanistan. They do not have to meet often for this to happen, more so for IT security consultants and software developers. In years to come, working with a global mindset will largely continue to be the norm among top-performing businesses. In fact, this has been a long-time trend in tech in America. This is because first- and second-generation immigrants like Elon Musk are the founders of 50% of America's tech giants. What can we take away from this trend? With the level of connectivity that we have today, more and more businesses are choosing to go international to expand their customer reach. And many businesses now, more or less, cater to customers worldwide. So it makes sense that entrepreneurs build connections with people from across the globe to understand their target markets better. Trend number 3, mobile commerce. Modern businesses seem to have an overarching doctrine to get customers wherever they are. This is part of the strong general trend of being customer-centric today. And customers are now glued to their phones a significant portion of the time. People clock in around 3 hours and 15 minutes a day on average on their phone. According to a 2019 study by Asurion, a tech support firm, most people check their mobile phones about 96 times a day, which equates to at least once every 10 minutes. Thus, Clever entrepreneurs leverage this to their advantage. Just like how the internet and the rise of mobile technology allowed for digital nomadism and more globalism, it also paved the way for more and better mobile commerce. Now entrepreneurs can manage to chip away at their giant competitors even from the comfort of their home. In fact, it can be claimed that they've had a hand in doing so. More than 11,000 fashion-related brands closed their doors in 2020. That stat is from Sourcing Journal, a leader in the B2B trade media. The COVID-19 pandemic worsened the situation for many brands, but it seems it is not the main reason why many of these brands closed. In fact, experts have already expected some 12,000 American and international brands to close in 2019. So said Entrepreneur in a 2019 article. In 2020, U.S. e-commerce sales hit $791.7 billion, which was a 32.4% growth rate from the previous year. This was thanks to companies like Amazon and entrepreneurs that use the platform. In fact, current Amazon trends and programs seem to ensure that businesses with e-commerce will have the upper hand over those with purely traditional distribution avenues. Market watchers also expect total e-commerce sales to significantly rise in the future. Thus, entrepreneurs and startups should keep this trend in mind. The pie is growing, and there will be more slices for them. Here are some startling statistics from Pew Research Center that tell you that you should not ignore mobile e-commerce. 80% of Americans shop online. 51% purchase using smartphones. 28% purchase items monthly. And 15% purchase items weekly. What you should take away from these facts is, as phones gain more powerful computational powers, many consumers are choosing to access online shops through their mobile devices. That said, businesses should provide a way to facilitate a more streamlined mobile commerce process. And, with the growing market share of mobile commerce, we can expect more options for mobile payments and transactions in the near future. Trend number four, social commerce. As mobile phones became an avenue for e-commerce, so has social media platforms in particular. Social commerce has risen organically out of social media use. As social media became more popular, many people just started doing things quite natural. They started selling and buying online using social media sites and apps. After all, social media have people, and people like to buy things. So why not sell on social media? In fact, even eBay recognized this. They built an integration to make their e-commerce platform more social. Social commerce is a natural progression as e-commerce and social media both become widely used. There are many species of social commerce, from user-curated, like List, the Fancy, and Supply, to group buying, like Groupon, and from peer recommendations, like Amazon and Yelp, to social network-driven sales, like in Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, in 2016, the social networking giant relaunched Facebook Marketplace. This project came to the fore as executives noticed their platform was being used by customers for buying and selling organically. In fact, according to BigCommerce, 30% of online shoppers tend to purchase products through social media networks such as Facebook. Thus, Facebook leveraged this use and made social commerce better. The Facebook Marketplace function allows users to post their wares. Also, it is integrated with Facebook Messenger, which allows for customers to arrange a meeting or haggle for the price. And, based on current social media trends, it is expected other social platforms will follow suit in the next few years. Also, many people are not just getting into social selling, they're also getting good at it. That means not only should we expect an increase in the number of people in social commerce, we should also anticipate that in the coming years, social selling will become more sophisticated. This comes with shiny new digital tools and sets of best practices for each platform. To give you some example of how social commerce has taken hold, here are two stats from BigCommerce. The average percentage of sales at online stores with social presence get is 32%. The month-to-month growth of e-commerce communities on social media is 8%. So, what does this all tell you? It says that social commerce is where social media and e-commerce meet. The medium makes it easier to give and receive feedback. In some sense, it recreates an in-person marketplace digitally. Thus, it gives users an authentic feel by making it more personal. It is its greatest come-on, and this will contrasize its standing among other e-commerce avenues in the years to come. In the coming years, social networks will provide their users with new tools for social selling, which means many marketers and other business experts will compile best practices for social commerce. Entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs should watch out for these. Trend number 5 is the gig economy. The gig economy is pretty big. Globally, as of 2021, it was worth about $300 billion. However, with a 17.4% compound annual growth rate up to 2023, experts predict that it will be worth $455 billion. Also, in 2018 alone, the U.S. gig economy accounted for 44% of the gross volume of the global gig economy. A 2020 study by Upwork found the U.S. gig economy to be around 59 million people strong. That means it accounted for around 36% of the American workforce. Plus, altogether, they contributed about $1.2 trillion to the U.S. economy. Moreover, it has decacorns in it as well. If you haven't heard of the term yet, decacorns are private companies valued at $10 billion or more. Decacorn companies in the gig economy include Uber and Airbnb. These are companies that investors have been gung-ho about. Companies like them cater to people who want gigs or temporary employment setups. Gigs are pretty attractive to people, and entrepreneurs should take advantage of this trend. One way an entrepreneur can leverage this is by creating a gig scheme for their business. This is not new. In fact, some athletes, especially in combat sports and entertainers, like stand-up comedians, are independent contractors. They have gigs. Their employers benefit from not paying for employee benefits like regularly employing firms do. Furthermore, they do not have long-term commitments to their suppliers or independent contractors. Additionally, many gigs require workers to bring their own equipment. So small business owners seeking to take advantage of the gig scheme can find ways to eliminate overhead costs. Again, this seems to work best in the realm of professional services. Of course, this is easier said than done. There are also many risks when it comes to managing a gig-oriented business. Owners must balance the demand side against the supply side, just like what the Uber algorithm does. And, as you may know, this takes a long while to perfect. Also, as markets change, the algorithm needs to learn. But if you're going to do this on a small scale, you may do okay using spreadsheets. However, you may do great using project management platforms. The gig economy is spread out in many sectors. Just to give you an idea, here's what MasterCard reported a while back. 57.8% are transportation-based services. 30.3% are asset-sharing services. 8.2% are handmade goods, household, and miscellaneous services. And 3.8% are professional services. Some things you should be aware of with the gig economy are 1. There are many benefits for transitioning to or creating a gig-like scheme for your business. These include paying lesser compensation packages, less overhead costs, and less equipment maintenance. And 2, also there are challenges to this setup. 1 is that you need to balance the supply side with the demand side. Another is that with gig workers, you may not have control over the quality of the work. Also, if you're acting as an agent between gig workers and clients, your gig worker may cut out the middleman eventually. Trend number 6, increasingly niche markets. It goes without saying, most people want to be unique. This is a universally shared preference. After all, nobody wants to wear the same clothes as the other person does at a party. Moreover, an increasing number of people want highly specific and sometimes customizable products. In other words, this is the trajectory where being customer-centric will lead, and high customer centricity is the breeding ground for more niche markets. Take the food industry, for instance. Many giants are now catering to niche preferences by customers. Vegan and vegetarian consumers are given attention now by fast food places. Take the Impossible Burger. It is being marketed by Burger King to appeal to a smaller non-meat-eating portion of the demographic. Also, fashion collaborations are everywhere. These deliver niche products to specific segments, such as shoes and whatnots. Some people may not even like the shoe brand itself. They just like the artist that created the shoe design. As a result, they buy. Thus, they are part of the small niche of people who are patrons of whatever that artist puts out, from music, movies, or shoes. In the coming years, experts believe that many new niches will become very profitable. Here are a few niche markets that are forming and becoming stronger today. LGBTQ+, gamers, environmentally conscious people, remote workers, and travelers. We can say that locals inherently form niche markets for businesses. However, consumers want to uniquely represent where they are from through fashion, accessories, and food consumption. Some are more passionate than others. Thus, extremely specific products are a hit in some niche markets. Compound shifting societal preferences with social and mobile commerce, and you get more digital business niches popping up. Furthermore, because of the pandemic, processes and services that once were on the sidelines are now enjoying the spotlight and being considered a convenience. Thus, entrepreneurs need to keep an eye on these niche developments. There may be opportunities there. Also, there may be threats. Some niche players may be eating up your market share. Trend number 7, the continuous rise of subscription-based businesses. According to a recent report, the global subscription and billing market in 2020 was worth $3 billion. It is expected to be worth $11.1 billion by 2027, which means it is growing at a compound annual growth rate of 14.4%. This is because of two main factors: the rise of subscribers to existing brands and the increase of new subscription-based models. Moreover, the end-user industry segments are in abundance. They include telecom, healthcare, media and entertainment, retail, and IT, among others. And with the pandemic forcing people to distance themselves from the outside world, according to a 2022 ZNET survey, 22.5% of subscription businesses realized a growth rate acceleration. Today, the subscription-based model in business is picking up more steam. Think about music and movie streaming, or even planned meals. Our local gyms have a subscription-based scheme as well. Now online classes and apps do too. According to Tian Zhu, founder and CEO of Zuora, a SaaS company, subscription-based models are the future. Getting steady revenue streams just makes more sense than intermittent sales. He also went further on by saying that if you are not shifting to this business model now, chances are that in a few years you might not have any business left to shift. Subscription-based models are also more convenient to customers, especially with automatic recurring payment schemes. Also, this is not limited to straightforward digital offerings. Even businesses like Fender Guitars got into a subscription-based model. The Fender Play subscription service offers a video music teaching service. This goes hand in hand with its overall business. It builds a long-term relationship rather than just a sale. Big industry players do it too. Take Amazon, for example. The company has been doing well with its Prime subscription service. Today, aspiring entrepreneurs and ones with established businesses are thinking of ways to create their own consumption-based models. Why? The main benefit is that you get a steady income. Also, with a scheme Prime for easy automation, you get your costs down. Earn steady income while paying less? That's a good deal. However, it must be done right. Additionally, businesses that adopted subscription models started using club management or membership platforms and payment gateway services to help automate their process. Trend number 8, adoption of disruptive technology. Disruption has been a buzzword for many years now. It is being easily thrown around in many sectors, especially when COVID-19 came around and disrupted the world. Thus, many believe that the word is being watered down. They might be right, especially when they coined the term. The term was coined by Clayton Christensen. Christensen was an American academic and business consultant who developed the theory of disruptive innovation. In the original intent of Christensen, a disruption only happens when a product or service takes root in simple applications at the bottom of the market. Then, it moves up this market and eventually displaces more established competing businesses. Also, innovations are disruptive when they allow a whole new population of consumers at the bottom of the market access to products or services that were inaccessible to them before. Thus, disruptive innovations democratize goods, services, and the benefits that come with them. Thus, technology like Uber and Airbnb can be considered as disruptive technologies. The same for software as a service, or SaaS, that allows for remote work, globalism, and digital nomadism. We can also consider social commerce as a disruptive technology. It allows customers to bypass traditional e-marketplaces dominated by big-budget online retailers. However, both new entrepreneurs and established businesses are aware of these disruptive technologies. Thus, these new technologies pose new opportunities and threats to both, as both camps have the chance to use them. One threat towards more established entrepreneurs is that the cost of entry to their markets is lowered. Think of Airbnb providers taking up chunks of hotel revenues. In fact, Airbnb beat Hilton and is currently considered the most valuable tourism and leisure brand. These technologies also pose a threat to new entrepreneurs. This is because more established businesses can also leverage their disruptive technologies too. They can take advantage of remote work technologies and digital subscription plans. By doing so, they free up resources to invest in other brand activities. That means more established companies can also gain more competitive advantages over new entrepreneurs. They just have to look for them in the right places. And many of those places are in disruptive SaaS platforms that smaller entrepreneurs use for online business and support as well. What I've outlined in the past 20 minutes or so is just 8 of the entrepreneurial trends for 2023 that I came across. Unfortunately, I've run out of time for today. I will outline the remaining ones on next week's edition. If you'd like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you would like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a question or a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for part 2 of Entrepreneurial Trends for 2023. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit southeastnj.score.org, southeastnj.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.